This morning we'd like to call your attention to verse 19, Jeremiah 6, 19. God is saying, "Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but they have rejected it." God is calling for the earth to listen. In verse 10, God asks the question, "To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear?" And he talks about how that the people of Jerusalem had closed their ears to God. They weren't listening to God anymore. The word of God to them was like a reproach. They didn't have any delight in the word of God. It is a sad and tragic day for a people, for a nation, for an individual who no longer has any desire to hear the word of God, whose ear is closed to what God might have to say. People who deliberately close their ears. Isaiah spoke of them as having eyes to see, they will not see, and having ears to hear, they will not hear. And you have met them, and I have met them, people who just don't want to hear what God's word says. They have no desire, no interest to hear what God has to say. But God must speak his warning. And if his people have closed their ear to his warning, then God will cry first of all to the nations, verse 17, or verse, where does he say, "Hear, O nations"? He says it there somewhere. Yes, 18, thank you. "Hear, O nations," and then in verse 19, it's "Hear, O earth." The word nations in the Hebrew is goyim, or "Hear, O heathen," you might say. "Hear, ye nations. Hear, O earth," whoever will listen. God will give his warning. God will cry out to them. I wonder if we might be seeing a parallel in the world in which we live today to the nation of Judah, a nation that were known as the people of God, a nation that was founded by God and upon godly principles, a nation who looked for God to guide them and to lead them in his path, a nation who honored God, and thus a nation that had become strong and had taken its place in the nations of the world. But in the time of their strength, they turned a deaf ear unto God and did not want to hear God anymore. They had forsaken the commandments and the law of the Lord. They had done their own thing. They had gone their own ways, and they had no desire to hear what God had to say any longer. My granddaughter just returned from Hungary, where she was on the witness team from our church. The young people that went over there to share with the young people in Hungary the witness of Jesus Christ. And when I got home last night, I called her up and I said, "How did it go, sweetheart?" And she said, oh, Grandpa, it was so exciting. She said, I would love to even move over to Baia. She said, the kids are so open over there. They're so ready to hear about Jesus Christ. She said, I've tried at Corona Del Mar to witness to the kids there. And she said, none of them want to listen. None of them want to hear. They're so close to the Lord. But she said, over there in Hungary, the kids would stop you on the street and they were just asking questions and they were just so anxious to hear about God. She said, it was just so much fun being over there where they were so open to hear the truth of God. And I thought, isn't that sad and tragic? That the young people here seem to be so closed to hear God's word. How much that is like the nation of Judah. They no longer listen to God. They wouldn't hearken to God. Every day it seems that we are receiving new interpretations from our judicial system that are closing the subject of Jesus Christ and God out of our schools and out of our public life. No more singing of Christmas carols in our public schools. Now, I remember when I grew up in public school, they taught us Christmas carols in public schools. But now they are outlawed in the public schools. We don't want to hear about the birth of Christ. We don't want to hear about God's gift to man. It's no longer called Easter vacation. That might suggest the resurrection. So they call it the spring break. No longer Christmas vacation, but the Christmas break. No longer baccalaureate services for the graduates from high school where they are challenged to look to God for guidance for the future. Teachers that do try to point out to the children that evolution is only an untested theory, not a fact of science, and there are many problems and loopholes in the theory, and suggest that perhaps we were created, are threatened with their jobs or are replaced in the classroom. They are harassed by the other teachers, even the Boy Scouts, who have in their oath the honoring of God, are being sued. They're wanting to remove that honor to God out of the oath or not require it. To God and country, that's been the motto all the way along. But you see, we're getting to the place where we don't want to hear God. We don't want to hear the voice of God. We're closing our minds and our hearts and our ears to God. That's what Judah did. God would speak to them, but they didn't want to listen. And so God said, hear, O earth. Anybody down there who will listen, I'm going to warn you. It's interesting to me that at the very time where we seem to be shutting God out of our public school system, the Russians are opening the doors of their public schools to Bible instruction. The Minister of Education has invited us to come over to Russia to teach the teachers how to teach the Bible in the public school system. Because they have come to realize that you cannot teach morals and ethics apart from the Bible. The whole communist system has corrupted from within. The idea of communism was to develop the perfect government, to bring out the best in man, to remove that greed and that selfishness, so that we would all work together for the common good, and ultimately we wouldn't even need government because everyone would be so interested in the other's welfare. An idealistic theory, but it didn't work because the most corrupt were the communist leaders. They had become so totally corrupted that that's what the whole rebellion is about now. The total corruption of the leaders of that communistic government. And they realize that the whole ethical, moral system of the nation is bankrupt. You say, well, you ought to be good. And the kids say, why? And they didn't have any answers. Just to say, well, it's nice to be nice doesn't work. You should be good because God said the wages of sin is death. You should be good because God has promised that if you will walk in faith and trust in Him, you'll spend your eternity with Him. You see, there is a basis for good, and there are rules and there are regulations by God what is good and what is bad. But take God away, take the Bible away, and you have no basis for morality or for ethics, and the whole system went down the tubes. And they now recognize it. They're far ahead of us. They're now recognizing the mistake of that materialistic concept, and that it has failed to bring them into this utopian society. But it is totally, spiritually, morally bankrupted the nation. And so now they are looking at the solution by bringing the Bible back into the classroom, the teaching of the Word of God. And even though the minister of education said, I'm an atheist, but I realize that this is what we've got to have. What happened to the three little monkeys that would see no evil or hear no evil or speak no evil? They've even gotten rid of them. Because what is evil? We don't want to create guilt complexes. And thus, this sort of a lax attitude towards anything that speaks of God or God speaking or God's word. We don't want to listen. We won't hearken. And God is warning the people that He is going to bring judgment upon the city of Jerusalem. He describes the evil that is going to come in the earlier part of the chapter. Their land is to be desolate and uninhabited. The fathers are to be carried away, and the wives and the children to be separated. Families are going to be broken up. Your land is to be destroyed, and you're to become slaves in a foreign land. And the Lord said, and you will reap the fruit of your thoughts. Now, God has established in nature the laws of sowing and reaping. Most of the people in Bible days were farmers. It was an agrarian society. People understood about planting seeds and growing plants. They were all close to the earth. Today, we hardly understand that at all. We don't even plant lawn seeds anymore. We order the sod, and they come and roll it out. How does the lawn get here? Oh, you just roll it out. And the kids don't understand about sowing the seeds and the rye seeds and the rye grass coming up. And they just don't understand those things anymore. But in the Bible, because people did understand sowing and reaping, planting and harvesting. There are so many scriptures that relate to this very basic law of nature that they understood. Scriptures that show you how that you reap in kind. You sow corn seeds, you're going to reap corn plants. Rice seeds, you're going to reap rye grain. Wheat seeds, wheat grain. You reap in kind. So the Bible said, whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Jesus spoke about the man who went forth to sow. Some of the seed fell on the wayside, some fell among stones, some fell on thorny grounds, and others fell on good soil. And they understood that. That was right home with them. That was just earthy talk that they understood. In Proverbs, he speaks of the person who will eat of the fruit of his own way. Hosea the prophet spoke about those who sowed to the wind and how they would reap the whirlwind. Paul warned that when Jesus returned, every man would be rewarded according to his deeds. In our text, the Lord tells them that they will reap the fruit of their thoughts. The fruit of your thoughts. It is so important that you put a guard over your mind to protect what comes in. In computer language, they say garbage in, garbage out. And your brain is a sophisticated computer. And you put garbage in and garbage is going to come out. I would imagine if the Bible were written today, instead of saying you're going to reap what you sow, they'd say garbage in, garbage out. We understand the computer language and in the age in which we live. And it is true of your mind. Whatever you plant in your mind, the first thing about it is that it seems to stay there. We have a tremendous memory bank. There are so many bits of memory that are stored there in your brain. And all you have to do is push the right keys and you can retrieve the memory that is there. All you need are the few bars of a song. And it can bring back a flood of memories. Whenever I hear the bars of that old Black Magic, I remember a vacation that we had when I was a kid, 14 years old, up in Matillaha. That happened to be playing on the jukebox all week long. And it just sort of impressed in my mind. Every time I hear it, there's the association of that neat vacation up there. And so the old, but unfortunately, when I was a kid on the restroom walls, I used to write dirty lyrics. And those have been planted in the memory bank. And if I would stop and think, it's still there. I can still remember some of those dirty lyrics. And I think how horrible it is to plant filth in the mind of a child. Never get rid of it. As long as they live, it's planted there in the memory bank. But not only does it remain, but it begins to produce its fruit in a person's life. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And if you sow to the flesh, then of the flesh you're going to reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, then of the Spirit you're going to reap life everlasting. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And if you are planting, sowing into your mind, the filth of the X-rated videos, the X-rated movies, the Playboy-type pornographic magazines. If you're sowing that stuff in your mind, then you will reap the fruit of your thoughts. It's just the laws of nature. Whatever you sow, you are going to reap. And you can't escape it. You cannot sow to your flesh and reap of your spirit. That is why it is so important that we are planting into our minds and into our hearts the Word of God. It's alive, it's powerful, it's spirit, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And you plant it into your heart, and then you begin to reap of the Spirit life and joy and peace, blessing. We had a fellow in our church here who was a lieutenant in the Los Angeles Police Department. He was in charge of the child vice department there in Los Angeles. He said invariably in the worst cases they had of child sex abuse, in the worst cases, he said invariably when they got the search warrant and went to the rooms of the suspects, they found the rooms filled with X-rated videos and pornographic magazines. Bundy testified, that serial killer who was involved in these horrible sex crimes, he testified that it all began with his looking at pornographic magazines, and it planted the thought in his mind, and then soon it wasn't enough just to have it in his mind. He had to work out these fantasies. And thus all of these horrible serial killings. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And God is warning them. And God is trying to tell them, look, you've been planting to the flesh, and now you're about to reap corruption. You're about to be destroyed. You're about to be overcome. You've become a slave. You will soon find yourself enslaved. And you're going to reap the fruit of your thoughts. And so it is. And so shall it ever be. Because it is a law that God has established in nature. Whatever a man sows, that he is going to reap. And God seeks to warn people. God seeks to speak to people. But so often, like Israel, they say, we won't listen. We won't hearken. Look at verse 16. The Lord said, stand in the way and see, and ask for the old path. It's the good way. Walk therein. And you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. See, they're stubborn. They're rebelling against God. God is pointing them to the right path. He said, if you walk in that path, you're going to find rest for your soul. You'll find peace. They said, we won't walk therein. And so God said, I've warned you. I've set watchmen to warn you, saying to you, listen, there's the sound of the trumpet. There's an alarm. But they said, we will not listen. They wouldn't listen to the warnings of God. And thus, the time has come when they must reap the fruit of their own minds. Now, the wonderful thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ is you don't have to reap the fruit of your own mind. For the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse a man from all sin. The Lord said through Isaiah the prophet, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, you may be as white as snow. God is offering to wash you and to cleanse you from the filth and the corruption of the past and to make you new. And you can start today a new life, not after the flesh, which will lead to destruction. But a new life after the Spirit, which will lead to life and joy and peace and happiness in Christ. But you have to listen to what God says. You have to follow in obedience the path where God will lead. And He will lead you to life because He said He came that you might have life and that more abundantly. The Lord isn't wanting to take away from you one good thing. He does want to take from you every evil thing, but not one good thing. In fact, the Lord is wanting to add to your life every good thing. God said, I know my thoughts towards you. They are good and not evil. God's desires for you are good, not evil. But tragically, foolishly, many people are like Judah. They just don't want to listen to God. And God speaks and they say, we won't listen. God says, walk in this path. They say, we won't walk in that path. And so they have rebelled and they have a mindset against God. And now the time has come. They're going to reap the fruit of their own minds. They're going to lose this land. They're going to lose their special privileges. They're going to lose their liberties. They're going to go into slavery of the worst sort as the families will be separated, fathers and sons killed, daughters and wives being made slaves. All because they wouldn't listen. And I think of how many people are in the bondage and slavery of sin today, minds corrupted and polluted, and God is calling, and they won't listen. I think God has been calling to the United States for a long time. We won't listen. We continue this downward path. And so God is now calling to the nations. Western Europe, England, they won't listen. Christianity is dead in those nations. And so God is calling to the world. Hear, O earth. And it's amazing to me that there are places in the earth where people are listening because they've tasted of the other and they realize it only leads to slavery, to tyranny and slavery. And Eastern Europe is listening. Russia is ready to listen. And God will speak to whoever will listen. Oh, that we might hear today. That we might hearken today to the voice of God. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your faithfulness that even after they quit listening, you kept speaking. And though they would not hearken to you, you cried to the earth, to the nations, to hear your warnings. Father, we pray that we might hear and that we might respond to the warnings that you have given. And may we, Lord, turn from our own path and turn to your path that we might have life and that more abundant in Christ Jesus. Forgive us, Lord, for turning a deaf ear to you for so long. Change us, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Cleanse us, Lord, with the washing of the blood of Jesus Christ. Heal us, Lord, from our backslidings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? There are always those who, having ears to hear, will not hear. But then there are also those who do hear and who do respond to the voice of God and whose lives are radically changed from darkness to light, from the power of sin to righteousness, from being mastered by the flesh to walking in the Spirit. That's your opportunity today if you'll just hear the voice of God and the warnings of God. He is telling you to continue your life of the flesh is going to destroy you. It's going to make a slave out of you. It's going to bring you into captivity. But if you will follow his way, it'll lead you to eternal life. Maybe today you have heard the voice of God. Maybe God is speaking to you right now and saying, yes, this is the way, walk in it. And you will either do as the people of Judah, you'll say, we will not walk in it, or you'll respond and say, yes, Lord, I will walk in it. I will follow you. And if you want to respond in the positive, I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room, and the pastors and elders will be back there to pray with you and for you. May the Lord be with you, and may he give you an ear to hear and a heart to respond to the things of the Spirit this week as you live and as you walk in an open attitude towards God and Jesus Christ.